I will call this meeting of the House Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee to order. First thing on our agenda here today will be approval of the minutes from our March 3rd meeting. Do I have a motion for that? Representative Knorr moves approval of the minutes of the meeting for March 3rd. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion prevails. Meeting minutes for March 3rd are approved. So members, today, the only real agenda item we have, not that approving meeting minutes are not real, but the only thing on our agenda is a presentation on the agreement between the University of Minnesota, Fairview Health Services, and University of Minnesota Physicians. So we are going to hear about that, the new 10-year agreement that they reached earlier this year. So first up, we will welcome Lois Quam, the strategic facilitator from the Office of the Attorney General, will help mediate the agreement to walk us through the process.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for this invitation. My name is Lois Quam, and I'd like to briefly introduce myself by sharing that I grew up in Marshall, and I have worked at top levels in the nonprofit, corporate, and government sector on improving access to healthcare affordability. I chaired the Minnesota Healthcare Access Commission that led to the legislative creation of Minnesota Care. With the 30-year agreements between the University of Minnesota, the University of Minnesota Physicians, and Fairview expiring at the end of 2026, the Attorney General convened a strategic facilitation process in April of 2025 with the parties' agreements. I was designated as the strategic facilitator for this process. In December, with the parties' agreements, the Attorney General initiated a mediation process with an experienced team comprised of retired Judge Tom Frazier, Dr. Bill McGuire, and myself. On Friday, January 23rd, a 10-year mediation agreement was signed by the parties and announced on the following Monday. The mediation agreement is the basis for a series of definitive agreements between the University and Fairview and the University and the University of Minnesota Physicians. In the mediation agreement, all parties agreed that the University of Minnesota Physicians and Fairview's agreement reached in November was effective and enforceable and subject to specific amendments. The parties have agreed to complete the definitive agreement stemming from the mediation by March 31st or at a later date mutually agreed. I congratulate University President Dr. Rebecca Cunningham, the University Board of Regents, Fairview CEO and President James Hereford, the Fairview Board of Directors, University of Minnesota Physicians CEO Dr. Greg Bielman, and the University of Minnesota Physicians Board of Directors, and each organization's teams on this important achievement for the people of Minnesota. The parties and the mediation team worked diligently over 7 weeks, only taking a break on December 25th. Mr. Chair, these organizations and their leaders are a role model for staying at the table and working through hard issues to reach an agreement that reflects a shared commission to the improved health for all Minnesotans in the years to come. They kept their eyes on the prize. They set aside past differences and misunderstandings. While each organization can speak to the agreement, I will describe some of the key features. Fairview has committed to $1 billion in capital improvements over 10 years, 2027 to 2036, in the University of Minnesota Medical Center and the Clinic and Surgery Center on the University of Minnesota campus. This includes the East Bank Hospital, the hospitals on the West Bank, and the Masonic Children's Hospitals. The university and the University of Minnesota Physicians will have the opportunity to provide meaningful input through the groups that work on designing these proposals. As a part of these investments, the university in Fairview will explore expansion of physical capacity at the academic medical centers and other approaches to enhance care through state-of-the-art facilities. Fairview will assume operations for the clinic and surgery center, and a new lease will be negotiated with the university given its ownership of the clinic building to foster integration, delivery, and management of services for patients, physicians, associated care providers, and related staff. Fairview will also forgive the operating debt on the clinic and surgery center that is owed to Fairview from the existing joint venture and assume all annual ongoing operating losses. These steps will support operations at the clinic and surgery center and preserve patient care at the facility. Fairview will provide $50 million in annual financial support for the medical school, with the potential for additional funding based on system performance. Fairview also assumes additional financial responsibility for clinic services, bringing its 10-year commitment to the medical school to approximately $600 million before additional performance-based funding. The University of Minnesota Physicians, the practice group that consists of the medical school faculty and affiliated physicians, remains the sole faculty practice group for the University of Minnesota, affirming their ability to continue academic research and teaching while practicing and training in Fairview facilities. All three organizations will collectively explore an innovative new program to support local physicians to increase the likelihood that patients in Greater Minnesota receive timely diagnosis, appropriate treatment, and necessary care for complex medical conditions, regardless of where they live in the state or their circumstances. Fairview has committed an initial $10 million of funding to this initiative. In addition, the parties have identified ways in which they can strengthen their partnerships. The University of Minnesota in Fairview will establish a new leadership council consisting of two members, each from the university leadership and the Fairview Board of Directors, to discuss important strategic matters and mutual needs, and ensure ongoing dialogue and effective collaboration. The University of Minnesota and mHealth Physicians will establish new collaborative vehicles for achieving their shared land grant mission of high quality clinical care, advanced research, teaching, and healthcare workforce development. As the Attorney General said when the mediation agreement was announced, the agreement, and I quote, will ensure that the 1.2 million Minnesotans a year will continue to receive world-class patient care in our state. That's 1.2 million Minnesotans who receive care in these facilities now. That Minnesota will remain a place where world-class physicians, specialists, and researchers seek to treat patients and build successful careers, and that secure, stable funding for the University of Minnesota Medical Center that trains 70% of Minnesota doctors will continue for the next generation. He further noted, and I quote, I know all Minnesotans will join me in thanking everyone that contributed to getting us to this point. It's a significant and positive development for all of us in the state that we love. We are entering a difficult and uncertain time in healthcare. The recent federal cuts to healthcare coverage and research are serious. The agreement by these three important Minnesota institutions establishes one of the key building blocks for our success in this next era. I again thank the leadership of these three organizations for their vision and stamina in getting this done. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Quam. I think members, unless I hear any strong objections, we'll go through all the testifiers and we can move to questions after that. So next we will welcome Dr. Rebecca Cunningham, President of the University of Minnesota. Welcome back to the committee, Dr. Cunningham. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hi, thank you for having me here today. Rebecca Cunningham, I'm the president of your University of Minnesota and thrilled to get to be here today to have a good conversation with you. Chair Wilgamott and members of the committee, thank you again for the invitation to be here. Again, for the purposes of the record, my name is Rebecca Cunningham, president of the University of Minnesota. On January 26, 2026, the University of Minnesota reached a preliminary agreement with M Physicians and Fairview. I want to thank the Attorney General's Office and Lois Quam for their deep efforts over many months to bring this to fruition, as well as to James Hereford at Fairview and to Greg Bielman, CEO. This is an important milestone that, after the definitive agreements are signed, will represent a win-win-win for all three parties. This agreement has the potential to be a win for our health and healthcare practitioners, a win for our students, and the future of our health and healthcare workforce, and a win for patients now and into the future. Most importantly, this agreement, after we finalize the definitive agreements, is the next step win for Minnesota. And when we finalize those definitive agreements, it will bring clarity and stability to the university's relationship with our physician group and to Fairview for the next 10 years. As you heard from Ms. Quam, key elements include academic support. This agreement affirms the University of Minnesota's Medical School's critical role in medical education, research, discovery, and clinical care, bringing stability and academic support to the medical school. It also secures that the University of Minnesota is responsible, of course, for the education and research mission. Facilities investment. This agreement will fund much needed updates and modernizations to the buildings on our campus. A secure physician group practice. This agreement allows our faculty, who also practice as physicians, to pursue their dual role in treating patients and training the next generation of health and healthcare professionals in a world-class learning environment as our designated practice plan. This agreement represents a strategic pivot. Instead of the joint venture, which we've had for the past many years in our current model, Fairview will be responsible for the management of the hospital operations and the buildings they own, and the university is responsible for the academic and for the research missions. With the end of the joint venture, we also will have the end of the mHealth Fairview brand, and that brand will sunset as noted in the mediated agreement. This is also a pluralistic future that clarifies our non-exclusive relationship with Fairview that provides us the opportunity to creatively and collaboratively explore multiple paths to address urgent health and healthcare needs, exploring additional and expanded partnerships to advance high-quality care across Minnesota. We recognize that our faculty and staff have been through a long period of transition. We're fully committed to them and to supporting a time of healing in our relationships with Fairview and M Physicians. As I have said, this agreement is an important milestone, and much more hard work remains as we finalize the definitive agreements, which are ongoing now as the formal contracts are being drafted by our teams. When those definitive agreements and contracts are complete, it will help us forge additional and expanded relationships and partnerships to serve Minnesota more broadly, a key aspect of our strategic roadmap, Elevate Extraordinary 2030. It also serves as a framework to create the definitive agreements needed to solidify the mediated settlement. This agreement was approved by the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents on January 30th, 2026. In addition to affirming the University of Minnesota Medical School's role in the oversight of medical education research discovery, it brings clarity and stability to the needed to deliver on our vision of building a long-term solution to meet Minnesota's most pressing health and healthcare needs. As you know, the University of Minnesota is the state's land-grant university. This year marks 175 years, yes, we're having a birthday, it was actually technically last week, of serving Minnesota through our mission of teaching and learning, research and scholarship, outreach, and public service. One of the ways that we do this by working across all the health sciences, medicine, pharmacy, dentistry, nursing, public health, veterinary, to deliver research, education, and care that changes lives across the state. At the University of Minnesota, we train 70% of Minnesota's healthcare professionals. We're proud to call healthcare professionals in all areas of the state our alumni. We know when they train here, they're more likely to stay here. And we want to provide even more pathways for students in greater Minnesota. In addition to our Twin Cities Medical School campus, we have a branch campus of our medical school in Duluth, which was founded in 1972. And we opened a CentraCare regional campus in St. Cloud last year. Our Rochester University campus also partners closely with the Mayo Clinic to train future health and healthcare professionals. And that campus has had an 80% increase in enrollment this year, demonstrating the need it's serving across the state. These campuses are critical to supplying the workforce for all of Minnesota, including rural Minnesota. Currently, more than 120 Minnesota communities have brought future doctors to their towns through our Rural Physicians Associate Program, more than 1,700 alumni to date. This vital work is part of our goal to create a future where all Minnesotans can get their healthcare needs met, regardless of where they live. Now that we have an agreement in principle, and after we complete the definitive agreements, we can focus on how we can set the course to train the future workforce to help meet the needs of greater Minnesota. Our commitment to serving all Minnesotans is something we've been doing for a long time now. Our vision is to build upon these strengths and continue to exceed all expectations. To improve the health and healthcare of all Minnesotans, we are focused on the following. Additionally, expanded partnerships offering high-quality care across Minnesota. A sustainable, stronger University of Minnesota Medical School. Recruitment and training of the next generation of healthcare professionals across health sciences in all of Minnesota. expanded health innovation that leads to life-saving and life-sustaining cures, and modern patient care and teaching facilities with innovative technology. Mr. Chair, with your permission, I would like to invite up Dr. Carl Bradford, our new Interim Executive Vice President for Health Affairs and Interim Dean of the Medical School, to share some brief remarks.
Certainly, Dr. Bradford.
While she joins here, I will say Dr. Bradford joined the University of Minnesota, two or three weeks ago. She is an internationally respected leader in head and neck cancer and medicine, whose career accomplishments include leading cultural transformation in a rapidly changing and uncertain healthcare environment, fostering collaborative interdisciplinary initiatives, and balancing academic and clinical missions with strategic growth in Big Ten academic medical centers. For the past 5 years, Dr. Bradford served as the Dean of the Ohio State University College of Medicine and Vice President for Health Sciences at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. There, she oversaw the opening of Interdisciplinary Health Sciences Center and launched a new learning track to prepare students for rural and smaller community practice, addressing physician shortages in those areas, critical experiences she will now bring to Minnesota. And with that, if she may.
Yes, Dr. Bradford, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, President Cunningham, Chair Wolgamott, and committee members. It is a pleasure to be with you here today. For the record, my name is Carol Bradford, and I serve as the Interim Dean for the Medical School and the Interim Executive Vice President for Health Affairs at the University of Minnesota. We have ahead of us a tremendous opportunity to transform health and healthcare education in Minnesota at a time when it's urgently needed. The foundations here are profoundly strong. The University of Minnesota is one of only a handful of public universities in the entire nation that works across the full spectrum of health sciences. And it is this unique collective that allows us to influence academic medicine, health, and healthcare in ways few other places can. Stepping into this new role just a few short weeks ago, my priority is to listen, to learn, to appreciate, and to build trust. I am committed to working across all levels of the university and with our clinical partners and our physician group to build a unified vision for the future. I look forward to continuing the university's long-term partnership with Fairview President James Hereford and CEO for the University of Minnesota Physicians, Dr. Greg Bielman, and to working collaboratively to care for Minnesotans. I'm also committed to deepening relationships with partners across the state. And perhaps most importantly, to build trust with our university faculty who have demonstrated an ongoing commitment to their patients, research, and our learners throughout this process. Our people are the true engines of our missions. Together with our learners, researchers, faculty, staff, and partners, we will seek out exciting new ways to move medicine and health care forward for Minnesota and beyond. Thank you again for the opportunity to come before this committee, and I look forward to working with you to support the health of Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As Dr. Bradford said, we have ahead of us a tremendous opportunity. Chair Wolgamott and members, again, thank you for wanting to learn more about this matter today and for having us in front of the committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham. Thank you, Dr. Bradford. We will now welcome Dr. Greg Bielman, the CEO of the University of Minnesota Physicians. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Roger. Chair Coulter, Representative Wolgamott, members of the committee, Regents Luger and Turner. Thank you for the opportunity to share the role of the University of Minnesota Physicians on behalf of the University Medical School and our relationship with Fairview Health Services. Introducing myself, my name is Greg Bielman. I'm an ICU doc and general surgeon and currently serve as the CEO of the University of Minnesota Physicians. I came to the University of Minnesota and Minnesota 30 years ago from Wichita, Kansas, to be a faculty member at the University of Minnesota. I've had a great career here practicing, teaching, caring for patients, and doing research as part of the University of Minnesota Medical School faculty. I'm proud to be a retired Army reservist with my 5 deployments, including those to Kosovo, Iraq, and Afghanistan. I digress from my topic for just a moment to recognize Sergeant First Class Nicole Amor, 39-year-old soldier who was killed in Kuwait this week. Sergeant Amor was a member of the Army Reserve 103rd Sustainment Command. She leaves behind a husband and 2 children at her home in White Bear Lake. My thoughts go to Sergeant Amor, her family. May she rest in peace. We have provided detailed information on the size and scope of the Medical School's Physician Practice Plan, UMP, in your member packet. Happy to address any questions you folks have either now or later. As physicians who practice, teach, and conduct research at the University of Minnesota Medical School, UMP and our teams are constantly seeking better treatments and outcomes for our patients and communities. We work with hospitals and clinics throughout the state, 50 of those, as well as primary partners of our Fairview people. Your packet has more details about those relationships, but it's individual stories that I think are most helpful to see how we work as a practice plan within the University of Minnesota School of Medicine and with our partners at Fairview. 5 years ago, a colleague of mine, Lisa Rogers, was working in one of our medical school research centers. She came to me complaining of fatigue. I sent her to her primary doctor. Her primary doctor, after doing some simple tests, diagnosed her with acute myelogenous leukemia. She was referred to our University of Minnesota Oncology Service and received a bone marrow biopsy. This leukemia is one of the more deadly forms of cancer that you can receive. After 2 rounds of chemo, which did not work, she was enrolled in a research trial at the University of Minnesota with a good response to the research trial. This made her eligible for bone marrow transplant with the National Marrow Donor Program, formerly known as Be the Match, something that was put together by people at the University of Minnesota that allowed her to receive a bone marrow transplant from a generous donor from Germany, of all places. She received this transplant again on a research protocol. Amazingly, after a recovery that took a year and a half in and out of the hospital, Lisa returned to work with me as her partner as an academic leader at the university, where she continues to run the program that she and I put together, dedicated to improving care for trauma patients in the pre-hospital setting. She is now looking forward to retirement, something that 5 years ago is not possible. She is one of the 1.2 million reasons why it's important for the University of Minnesota physicians, the University of Minnesota, and Fairview to turn the page on a new chapter moving forward in our 30-year relationship as we come into the end of 2026. This is important for patients like Lisa, the other 1.2 million people that I help care for as the leader of our practice plan, and the other physicians and providers who are my partners. I want to recognize Attorney General Keith Ellison, his office, the mediation team led by Judge Tom Frazier, and Lois Quam and Dr. Bill McGuire for their efforts over the last year in getting us to the point we are today. I am incredibly excited about the opportunity to move forward. We have come to common ground, Fairview, the university, and our practice plan, and understand the items of importance for all of us to move forward effectively. I want to extend my thanks to University President Rebecca Cunningham, Fairview President and CEO James Hereford for their engagement in this process to get us to this point and to bring us to the on-ramp for the next decade of service to Minnesota. What the heck is a University of Minnesota physician? We are the community practice, the practice of medicine that's related to the faculty at the School of Medicine. I came to the University of Minnesota to work at the university, but my practice is through the University of Minnesota Physicians. University of Minnesota Physicians doesn't necessarily do academics, but we are the vehicle to both support the academic mission and also make sure that our doctors have a location to practice, are getting paid fairly for doing that work, and continuing to take care of the 1.2 million people that we touch in the state of Minnesota every year. Physicians teach by doing. I learned as a medical student at the University of Kansas by taking care of patients with my attending physicians and my residents. You cannot learn to be a doctor without that patient contact. We cannot teach without relationships with Fairview and with our other clinical partners across the state. Research. We do not work in a rat lab, killing cells or injecting things into rats and examining those. We have to have patients in order to test new therapies, like my partner Lisa. And that's how we make a difference for our patients, is understanding the issues that our patients face, working to identify ways in which we can improve the care of those patients. If you look at the University of Minnesota Medical School finances, the single largest piece of the so-called pie comes from the practice of medicine and the University of Minnesota physicians. This makes sense because the revenue that is generated by our doctors supports the faculty, supports their salaries, and supports the academic mission that we all serve in working at the University of Minnesota. Last year, when the Attorney General stepped in, there was a significant risk of potential damaging to this funding and sustainability for our faculty. I am really grateful that we've avoided this scenario and that we've given a greater stability to our faculty and a stronger healthcare future for our state. Just another amusing aside, after we signed our initial agreement with Fairview in November, one of my partners came up to me and said, "Thank God, Greg, I don't have to move. My family can stay here." We rely on this agreement and honestly the other 50 agreements that we have to support our faculty members at the University of Minnesota. Our packet outlines the substantial investments in both the academic mission as well as the clinical facilities thanks to this new partnership. Lois Quam has already mentioned those. These include $50 million a year for the medical school's academic mission and a total commitment of $1 billion over the next 10 years to support the capital needs within the academic footprint. As part of our new partnership, we are aligning the employment home within Fairview for some Minnesota physicians' staff members, not faculty members. These include staff members whose salaries are already paid for by Fairview, who already support operational work done for Fairview, who report to Fairview leaders, and who work within Fairview facilities. We believe that this transition will support our shared work for Minnesota Together, and we are strongly committed to a smooth transition for all of the staff involved, including my future son-in-law. So I want this to go well. Our separate but parallel mediated agreements with the University of Minnesota reaffirm the investments that I mentioned earlier, in addition to affirming the University of Minnesota physician as the sole premier clinical practice for the medical school. This designation is critical for the stability our faculty need to continue their focus on caring for patients, training learners, and researching new therapies. Our status as an independent nonprofit entity that supports a medical school provides a number of benefits and protections, like adequate malpractice insurance, that keep our faculty secure and engaged in the important work that they do every day. This model is a best practice structure, also maintained by many highly ranked peer medical schools, including the University of Wisconsin in Madison and Washington University in St. Louis. These agreements support the academic mission critical to retaining and recruiting specialized and caring doctors to teach and care for our state. I have had an amazing 30-year career here at the University of Minnesota. I hope that what I'm doing today, working with James, working with President Cunningham, will make that possible for the people that we are recruiting to come to Minnesota in the future. Minnesota will need this from us even more as we confront challenges in the years ahead. Higher rates of uninsured patients, sicker patients resulting from delays in seeking care, and a variety of other challenges. Our new agreements prepare us to deliver this well for the state of Minnesota into the future. Thank you for the chance to address you today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dr. Bielman. Thank you for your testimony and thank you for your service as well. At this point, we will welcome James Hereford, the CEO of Fairview Health Services. And I will note that both of my kids were born at a Fairview hospital, just for the record. Mr. Hereford, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for the opportunity to appear today. Also, thank you for the business. I'm glad, hopefully we acquitted ourselves well in the delivery of your children. My name is James Hereford. I serve as President and CEO of Fairview Health Services. Before I begin, I want to extend my deep appreciation for Attorney General Ellison, Strategic Facilitator Lois Quam, and the many others for the countless hours that they've put in over the last year visiting our facilities, our care teams, across Minnesota. We're grateful for your leadership and for helping us to reach this point. At Fairview, our mission is to make health happen through human connection. Every decision we make is anchored in our mission. Together with our partners, we serve more than 1.2 Minnesotans every year. Fairview nurses, pharmacists, lab techs, support staff, EMS, therapists, and more work together every day. They enable patient care delivered by more than 6,000 physicians who work within our system. Those include 2,200 physicians and advanced practice providers who have chosen Fairview as their employer and are practicing in our hospitals and clinics. It also includes 2,250 independent physicians who choose to deliver care within our system. And of course, the 1,700 University of Minnesota Medical School faculty practicing clinically at UMMC and other Fairview facilities. Fairview is Minnesota's third largest employer. Our hospitals and clinics span the state from the Twin Cities to the Iron Range. Our overall economic impact on Minnesota is more than $17 billion every year. And we forge partnerships that extend care and compassion beyond our walls and make Minnesota a model for community-based care. Just last year, we were the recipients awarded by the American Hospital Association for the Foster G. McGaw Award. That is awarded to a system that is considered to have done the most for community health. That was a notable honor, recognizing the literally over 100 years of service since 1853 to our communities. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Fairview, much like the university and colleges you oversee, is an anchor to the communities we serve. And anchor institutions matter, as we well know. A strong, stable, sustainable Fairview benefits Minnesota. But healthcare is under real stress. The threats today are more numerous than ever before. Across the state and the country, health systems are navigating a brutal combination of lagging reimbursement, workforce shortages, capital demands, and ever-increasing post-pandemic costs. We need look no further than the local headlines to see this playing out. Hennepin Healthcare, just across the river, is at the brink. They are not alone. Fairview is not immune to these forces. It has taken years of disciplined work, hard choices, operational rigor, investment in our people to return to stability. Fairview is strong, and we intend to stay that way. But the road ahead is not an easy one. We'll need to be smarter. We'll need to innovate. We need to continuously improve our ability to deliver quality of care, access, and operational excellence in order to survive and to continue to meet the state's needs. Higher education is navigating similar headwinds, funding pressures, workforce challenges, mission strain. I know the University of Minnesota is facing real difficulties at a scale and severity not unlike those that healthcare delivery is facing. We are two anchor institutions in similar storms facing questions about our future. When confronted with challenging circumstance, the answer is not to fragment. It is to come together. And that is exactly what we've done. We've come together with UMP providers, caring for patients and aligning around a common purpose. That answer is to build a stronger partnership, one with shared goals, clear commitments, and strong accountability to bring us through the next decade. That is what our new agreement represents for Fairview, a stronger, more sustainable partnership to support academic medicine and Minnesota's healthcare future. Over the next 10 years, we're committed to invest $1 billion in the current hospital and medical facilities on and around the University of Minnesota campus, provide $500 million in guaranteed academic support for the medical school, which could grow further if we make progress towards shared goals, fund $10 million of work with rural healthcare facilities and institutions in Minnesota, supporting and sustaining the crucial care that they provide. In doing so, we'll build on the care we already provide and the learnings that we've learned, that we've had working in our hospitals at both Hibbing and Grand Rapids. There are many other examples of the progress we've made driving innovation to rural communities. One of my favorites, our system helped new parents and their premature babies stay close to home in Grand Rapids through tele-NICU capabilities, connecting them virtually to the experts at UMMC NICU teams for specialized care, allowing them to stay in their community where they wanted to be. All told, Fairview will remain the largest private source of outside investment into the University of Minnesota Medical School. This level of support compares favorably at the 65th percentile level to similar academic institutions per the 2025 Vizient study. We're proud of that commitment and proud to support academic medicine. Even so, you can't have a high-functioning medical school without a high-functioning faculty. This is where Fairview's greatest contribution to the university academic mission rests. Yes, the University of Minnesota Medical School faculty educate future physicians, but they also care for patients, often those with rare conditions and complex medical needs. They conduct cutting-edge research to discover tomorrow's treatments, and at any given time, the medical school faculty are leading dozens of clinical trials for new therapies and leading studies to address vexing medical problems. Doing so requires a strong clinical platform of hospitals and clinics and all of their associated capabilities, where faculty can teach, train, conduct research, and run clinical trials. Fairview is that platform. More than 1,200 UMP faculty doctors practice, teach, and research across Fairview every day. They work alongside Fairview physicians, our nurses, pharmacists, technicians, and administrators. Minnesota's physician workforce is educated in our system. Clinical trials that advance medicine happen in our system. Research that drives discovery happens in our system. Just last year, our teams at Masonic Children's Hospital, alongside renowned pediatric cardiothoracic surgeon and medical school faculty, Dr. Praneva Sinha, successfully completed the first partial pediatric heart transplant in the Upper Midwest for baby Lennox of Big Lake, Minnesota. Through partnership between Fairview's pharmacy teams and UMP physician specialists in our Pediatric Blood and Marrow Transplant Center, we can revolutionize and bring new life-saving gene therapy treatments to patients and their families. In this and other examples, this work creates a new hope for people with rare disease. Teams in our system are leading the field in the use of ECMO to treat cardiac arrest. UMP doctors and Fairview teams are finding new ways to get this care to people faster, first by road and now by air. Northland Medical Center in Princeton, Minnesota, is now home to the nation's first program that flies a specialized ECMO team by helicopter from UMMC directly to community-based emergency departments to support life-saving care and wherever that care is needed, dramatically increasing a person's chance of survival. These are just a few ways that partnership and strong clinical platform advances academic medicine and discovery. Through this continued partnership, that will not change. In fact, we believe that it can lead to more breakthroughs in clinical practice. Our hospitals and clinics remain a broad, stable, mission-aligned clinical platform. We will continue to support medical school faculty as we always have, and with new structures and shared goals designed to support their work more effectively than before. The foundation of this partnership is strong. The university and UMP can build on it with confidence. Fairview is a non-profit healthcare system. We don't have shareholders. We have patients, we have communities, and we have a mission. Supporting the unique capabilities of academic medicine and extending its impact to Minnesotans wherever they seek care is central to that mission. The University of Minnesota needs a strong Fairview to fulfill its mission, and the state of Minnesota needs a strong university to fulfill theirs. These are not competing interests, they're aligned ones. This agreement is how we protect what we have built together and how we build what comes next for patients, for physicians, and for the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for inviting us today. I'm happy to take your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hereford. So members, that is the end of our testifier list. So we'll move to member discussion. I will note that President Cunningham does have to step out at 2 o'clock. So I think if you have questions for her, I would encourage you to get on the list. We will start with Representative Cleaver, and then we'll go to Representative Namani.
My question is not for Dr. Cunningham. So if someone has a question for Dr. Cunningham, I will go second or third.
I guess I should. Is there anyone who does have questions for President Cunningham? Okay, then why don't we start with Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham. Nice to see you. And to everyone who's testified, congratulations. We're so happy that this has happened. So I have a lot of questions. I'm not sure they're all for you, but since you're leaving, I wanted to start with you. So there were concerns early on about the funding. How is this going to work? And could you just outline for us, and maybe this isn't you, so I'll ask my other question too in case one of them is you, but the $50 million a year is, I think, less than the old agreement. So how are we making up that money, and what do you anticipate asking the state for?
President
Chair
Cunningham.
And Chair Coulter, and sorry, I named the wrong chair before, so forgive me. But Chair and Representative Robbins, this is a decrease in funding for us over the next 5 years. It will represent about $30 million less for us. You know, this is really a shift of risk in some ways. So there, I recognize our Fairview president notes it's a difficult time for healthcare. So really, this is a time where that some of that financial risk is being shifted from the healthcare system, who will have an increase in, these are our estimates, please ask them about their estimates, but our projections are this will represent about a $70 million increase for Fairview over the next 5 years, about a $30 million decrease for the university, and our estimates, and again, please, my colleagues may have their own estimates, are about a $40 million decrease for UMP. So it's a shift. Of that over time. So with that, you know, we will continue to look for other ways. I mentioned this is a pluralistic relationship and non-exclusive. And while we do very much appreciate this partnership we have, and we're committed to this partnership we have, and as demonstrated by the our commitment here to get this done. With that, we do need to. Think about how we can serve the rest of the state more fully. And with that, as we serve the rest of the state more fully, what kind of win-win partnerships we can have with others around the state. Again, not with the goal for growth's sake, but how we can support the full state of Minnesota and greater Minnesota. And that will be part of our work over the coming years.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you. So early on, there were news reports about the role of former Executive Vice President Franz, and he switched to a consultant role to facilitate part or some role in this agreement, and his consulting fee was substantial. My memory, I don't have the report in front of me, but how much was paid to him and other consultants as part of this agreement?
President Cunningham.
Chair and Representative Robbins, I don't have the consultant fees off the top of my head. I'm sorry. When I arrived here, Myron Franz had just stepped out of the CFO role. The university had no CFO in place at the time, and he was the representative to the Fairview Board and also had the most historical knowledge. He was serving on the Fairview Board, had the most historical knowledge for the university in terms of managing the ecosystem and the issues we had at the time. When I stepped into this role now 19 months ago, the university in Fairview had already decided they had entered into a letter of intent around the repurchasing of the buildings. That all needed to be negotiated and managed and the prices figured out as we traded, you know, offers and thoughts about that. And Myron Franz was the person that had the historical knowledge to be able to get us from that time of the newness of my administration through the hiring of a CFO. At the same time, we also, for some of that time, did not have full-time government relations staff, and he also was able to help us in that component. And with that, he charged a market rate for the consulting fees. I don't know what they are.
Right, well, someone can get that to me. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. I do, if there are any other questions specifically for President Cunningham, I would just want to make sure we're prioritizing those. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I also would like to add my congratulations to all of the parties and my thanks for working this through, because it was of great concern. I'm sure it was of great concern to a lot of Minnesotans, because we all understand the importance of the University of Minnesota and its academic medicine role, and also the importance of Fairview and the importance of the University of Minnesota physicians. So it is, feel very, very happy with all of you and all of the statements that I'm hearing today, understanding that there's still a lot to figure out going forward. Representative Robbins was focusing on the $50 million. I would like you, President Cunningham, to just kind of restate for us maybe kind of what the situation is now with the ownership of the buildings.
Sure.
Because that was, I know, a big concern for the university. And if the legislature in the future is ever going to help invest in some of those buildings, it's really important to understand who owns them.
Yeah, thank you, Chair and Representative Liebling. 30 years ago, the university, those buildings were transferred to Fairview. Since then, Fairview has owned the three buildings, the East and West Bank and the Masonic Children's Hospital. They have owned those buildings for 30 years. The Clinical Surgical Center, the CSC, is owned by the university and is currently leased to Fairview and UMP in our current arrangement. Moving forward, we're going to redo the lease that will go to Fairview. So those buildings are owned by Fairview. They will be, as you heard here and part of the agreement, they will be updated some by Fairview. And going forward, I'm happy to have conversations about other facilities the university could advance to think about how we, create a teaching environment with modern technology, et cetera, that really will serve for the next, 30 or 40 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I may, that was part of the discussion that I mentioned a moment ago, that there was a conversation last year that predated my arrival to the state on whether we would repurchase those buildings. And, by the time we got through kind of these pieces here, the decision was those buildings would remain with Fairview.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you. And just quickly to kind of wrap up and say, kind of restate the obvious, that the University of Minnesota is so important to the entire mission of our state and to the economy of our state. And even though right now we, as a state, we find ourselves in some sort of a lot of fiscal uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. I must say it is really a very challenging time. And it is really good to know that at least some piece of the world is kind of getting straightened out here. And also that I really look forward in the future to when we have more secure funding in the state, to being able to partner more closely with the university, to because this is something that's vitally important to all of us in Minnesota, whether we directly interact with the university or not, whether we directly are patients of the university's physicians or not. So thank you so much for your work. And to all of you.
If I may, Chair and
President Cunningham.
Representative Liebling, thank you, first of all, for those kind words. We are proud to be really the engine for the state in many ways. We have 70,000 students right now. 70% of those students will stay in the state of Minnesota and become citizens and potentially future committee members, I just want to point out. With that, we have an $11.5 billion economic impact to the state every year. And we are the fifth largest employer also for the state. And so we're in all 87 counties, five campuses across the state, and we believe we touch the life of every Minnesotan. And so we're proud to do that and happy to come back and talk to you about other opportunities. And also pleased that the healthcare component of our mission, which is one important part, but one part of a much larger mission, is working its way in this next step. So thank you.
Thank you. And we will proceed with some more questions for President Cunningham. I will point out, while she does have to step out at 2, she will be back, I believe, around 2:30. So this is not our only bite at the apple. But we'll turn to Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. And Dr. Cunningham, President Cunningham, I appreciate the great work that you're doing for the university and the direction that you're taking the university into. But I want to go specifically to this building piece, because this has stuck with me and has irritated me for a long time. And so I just have to say it out loud and in public, and I'm so sorry that Representative Robbins has stepped out of the room, because I would want her to hear this too. I have gone back 30 years with every publicly available piece of documentation I can find. I've read redacted minutes, I've read full minutes, I've looked at agreements. And the thing that is troubling to me is that it appears, and no one has refuted this. And if there is documentation to the contrary, I would like to see it. But for the East Bank and the West Bank health facilities, the parking garages, and all of the things that went down in that deal 30 years ago, which, by the way, was a deal done in fear. It was not done for the right reasons. We had a university system that was moving from indigent care to for-pay care. We had Fairview going in need of doctors. They didn't have, I mean, it was a complicated mess at the time, a hot mess. But everything that I have been able to find says that that transfer of all of those university assets was for $1. $1. And so when I hear the word repurchase, I hope the sales price is $1. And if somebody else has information that they can provide to me to prove that I am wrong, all about it. I want to talk about it in public. But if we are, and nonprofit, by the way, does not mean not profitable, right? Nonprofit is just some public good. So if there is documentation that shows that they paid, that Fairview paid more than $1, I'd like to see it. The other thing that is concerning to me is that the buildings themselves have appear from my walkthroughs to not be well kept. So not only were the buildings handed over, but they were not maintained to the status that most people in a first world nation would really want their STAR facilities. So if there is a repurchase agreement, please promise me that it will be $1 and that the condition of the buildings will be taken into consideration. And it's all of those buildings. So if you take that dollar and you divide it by all of the buildings, that would be the price I would be willing to pay. Thank you. And then I have a question later for the other group.
Thank you, Representative.
Chair and
President Cunningham.
Representative Cleburne, I do not have that data point, and I trust your deep research has looked at that more closely than I have in the past. I mean, the buildings were transferred over, and it was certainly a decision made at the time. The current facilities, we are pleased. Part of this agreement that we've been asking for some time has been an investment in the facilities, where we do a lot of are both clinical care and medical education. We do know that there's deferred maintenance on those buildings. Our estimate is about $500 million of deferred maintenance that's been needed, that has left some areas of those buildings in substantial disrepair and not a place that is ideal for the training of the 70% of the future workforce. For that, I am quite grateful to the mediated agreement and to the commitment going forward to commit that $1 billion, which is about $500 million of new money, because they have been committing about $1 million, $100,000 a year. So that commitment will help in bringing up some of that deferred maintenance, and for that we are grateful for the partnership and for the Attorney General's mediated settlement, because I think and that will help some in that deferred maintenance.
Thank you, Representative Novotny, and then I think we're going to have to let President Cunningham go, but Representative Allen, you'll be first on the list for when she gets back. Representative Naughty. So Representative Noor was on the list before. No, he wasn't. I'm sorry. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Chair Coulter and Representative Nemotny. Just to get back to some of the line of the questioning that, and thank you, President Cunningham, for making yourself available here today. It is truly appreciated. Getting back to some of the line of questioning from Representative Robbins, specifically around the $50 million that was kind of negotiated out with the AG's office in Fairview and the University of Minnesota, I was kind of wondering, there was particular benchmarks that were built into additional funding that was going over and above, and I was just kind of wondering if you could share with the committee, what are the specific benchmarks that must be met in order to be able to receive the additional funding?
So thank you, Chair and Representative Allen. So there's two components of what would be academic support to the university going forward, a fixed portion, which is that about $50 million component that we would receive every year, and then a variable component if Fairview hits an operating percent of 3%. Okay.
Yeah. Representative Allen?
I appreciate that, and thank you for that very much. It's given kind of, to Rep. Liebling's comments as well. I know there's a lot of fiscal uncertainty that we're currently dealing with, especially as it, when we're talking about entities, whether it's counties, cities, schools, universities that stem back to a lot of decisions made in 2023 and 2024. And it's made things incredibly difficult on a lot of our public institutions in terms of trying to navigate that. And I'm glad you're at the helm at the University of Minnesota, appreciative for your work, and looking forward for you to bring the university back to a better position.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Allen. Representative Donnelly, did you have a question
for for the President?
Proceed.
President Cunningham, got $1 billion that's been put up for the fund. Can you confirm, will there be any changing of markings at the building? Will the university markings come off these buildings?
President Cunningham.
Yeah, yes, thank you. So in the mediated agreement, we do note that the joint venture is ending, and with that, the mHealth Fairview brand will end. Part of our next work that we're doing in definitive agreements is deciding what the future branding will be. But with the general idea that these are Fairview buildings and therefore they will be marked as such, we're still working on some of the other finer points of the details.
Representative Rodney? Thank you. Representative Knorr, you think you can get through your questions in 2 minutes?
I'll make it quick.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam President. And to all of you, congratulations for the mediated agreement that you have reached. The quick question is, as we are transitioning from mHealth Fairview, we're moving to a new model. And what happens to the patients who have been relying on that service? And what happens to the UMP, because they were also part of the University of Minnesota? What changes from the UMP, and
sure,
what happens to the patients who are coming to those to the hospital?
And let me be clear when I say the mHealth is simply the brand, so that doesn't affect the physicians. This part of what this secures is the physician group will continue to see patients in the way they are seeing patients, and I don't expect a big difference in that patient care. It should be very smooth, and in fact, this helps secure that smooth component for patients going forward. This part of our mediated agreement also secures the university's relation. These are our faculty with where they're going to be staffed. So the university physician group is basically a staffing organization. We hire the faculty, and then they are staffed, and where they do their clinical work is with our university physician group headed by Dr. Bielman. And so it secures, that's basically a contract between us and them that we will have, that they will be our sole designated faculty practice that provides where our faculty who we hire from all over the country and the world to come do that great medical research that you heard about, where they will get to practice medicine while they're here doing that great research. Yeah.
Representative Knorr, any proceed? Oh, you're done. Huh. All right, then. All right, I know President Cunningham has to step out, so I think we'll move on to other discussions. But
I'm sure I will be back.
That's how it goes. I'm sure if there are further questions for President Cunningham, she'll be happy to answer those when she returns to us. I have a question, and I'm not sure, maybe Ms. Quam or Dr. Bielman, as I look at number 4 in this agreement discussing research, I'm wondering if somebody would be able to describe, you know, it discusses grantee contractor arrangements, things like that. My question is sort of broadly, how is sort of in a sort of general term ownership of research determined, intellectual property rights and things of that matter, and how does that compare to the current arrangement? Sounds like Dr. Buhlmann's stepping up the plate, or?
Item four.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Buhlmann.
Chair Coulter, thank you for your question, and I'm going to try to answer it. Research and teaching are complicated issues at the University of Minnesota and most large universities. Fairview does a lot of support of the research mission. As I said, this Fairview serves and our practice plan serves as the framework within which research is done. There are many pieces of that research that as part of this will continue to be supported by Fairview to allow research to be done by faculty at the University of Minnesota. Some examples of this include the clinical research unit, a place where you can bring patients to study, for instance, diabetes. That's been run by Fairview in the past and will continue to be run and supported by Fairview. We also collect large data sets from the clinical data of our patients, and that's expensive to put that together, do the collection, make sure it's available. That will continue to be supported moving forward. The research mission itself, for instance, I've been funded by the Office of Naval Research and the Department of Defense for 30 years to do trauma-related research. That runs through the University of Minnesota. Sometimes I'm studying patients, sometimes it's other types of work. That piece of things Fairview is not getting into, or the University of Minnesota physicians is not getting into. I hope that clarifies a complicated situation.
Thank you, Dr. Buhlmann. It does to a certain extent, and perhaps some other folks, we can have an offline conversation about that, what that looks like. I think just as a son of a college instructor, I'm always a little bit protective of making sure that the folks who are doing the work get the credit and all of that comes from that. So that was the only question I had. I think, did I see Representative Cleavorn?
Yes, these were the questions I had for this group. My other question was for Dr. Cunningham. Okay, so Representative Robbins asked about consulting fees for the University of Minnesota, but she did not ask about consulting fees for UMP or Fairview. Do you have those numbers available?
I don't have those numbers available, but happy to see what I can do to obtain those numbers.
Okay,
I can give you some general ideas. We have outside counsel that we've retained for many, many years, and they continue to help us work on this project.
It was a large team.
We're the David next to the University and Fairview Goliath, so a fairly small team from our perspective. Thank you.
Representative Cleburne, do you have further
questions?
Thank
you, Mr. Chair. I do. So you made some comments today that I just want to highlight, and please take these. They're not an attack. They're just comments. So you stated that UMP exists for fair compensation or something of that paraphrasing, that you wanted to ensure that the doctors had fair compensation. You talked about status protection, and you mentioned insurance. So those are all things that union employees receive, fair compensation, status protection, and insurance. So that kind of leads me to the question of what is happening to the University of Minnesota, Fairview, union employees? How are they being divided? How is that happening?
Dr. Buhlmann?
Chairman Coulter, Representative Cleavorn, I'm having trouble are you asking about the transfer of the employees from University of Minnesota Physicians employment to Fairview employment?
Representative Cleavorn.
Yes, because Dr. Cunningham also referred to, or I think it was Dr. Cunningham, staffing organization, or was that your phrase? I don't know. That UMP is also a staffing organization. They hire the doctors and then you staff. So I'm just trying to figure out what happens to the staff in a deal such as this.
Dr. Buhlmann.
Chair Coulter, Representative Cleavorn. Let me again try to explain what I can about this. I'm also happy to talk to you offline. We have right now 4,500 employees as employees of University of Minnesota Physicians. That includes, and these are round numbers, about 1,500 physicians, about 500 advanced practice providers, and about 2,500 staff. With our Fairview colleagues, we have agreed that the staff that support the Fairview mission and are supported by Fairview to support that mission will be moved over the next 8 to 9 months to Fairview employment homes. Those staff, and you can read my announcement that came out literally this morning.
Okay.
I'm happy to email that to you if you'd like as well.
Okay.
But it talks about some of the details of that. We continue to work with our Fairview colleagues to make sure that, as I mentioned before, like my son-in-law, this transition goes smoothly. We treat our employees with dignity, with fairness, and they have a good job on both sides of this situation.
Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you. And what happens to their collective bargaining agreements if...
Dr. Buhlmann.
Chair Coulter, Representative Cleavorn. We are early in the discussions, but the we have 112 employees that have a collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me a couple employees one way or the other. And those employees will make sure that their contracts are fully supported and fulfilled during this transition.
Representative Cleaver.
Yeah. So that begs the question, what happens after, right? Because you're saying during the transition, will they lose the ability to be represented by a union?
No.
Dr. Buhlmann.
Thank you. Okay. And then let's see.
I'm sorry, Chair Coulter. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
I've been a little bit lax on it, too. You're fine.
Okay, and then I have one last question.
Representative Cleaver.
Thank you so much, Chair. On page 2 of the mediated agreement, and there may be a very simple answer to this. I don't know. It says UMP makes the following key commitments. A, 70% of the total number of UMP physicians will hold faculty appointments. And then B, you've got 70% again, will work primarily at sites for UM academic affiliation. What happens to the other 30% of UMP?
Dr.
Are they there now?
Apologies.
Chair Coulter, Representative Cleavorn, right now we have physicians who, like me, are academic physicians who both have appointments within the medical school and take care of patients. We also have physicians that are employed by UMP that are not medical school appointees who are focused on delivering great clinical care for their patients. That's that 30% that's not in there. Those physicians will continue to be employed by UM physicians, will continue to do work within the Fairview system like they do now, or with the other 50 systems that we work with.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll just say, you know, I'm a UMP patient, right? So I want to make sure that we have continuum of care, not just for myself, but for everyone who uses the University of Minnesota. There is nothing more important to me than the viability of the University of Minnesota Med School and the great work that they do and the patient care that they deliver. And so I hope going forward, again, I believe that this negotiation was not set up the way I would have liked to have seen it set up, but I am glad that an agreement has been reached. I would ask that in the future, that when you go to the table, that it's not done in fear of doctors not having continued work, but that it is in the hope of ensuring all patient care and that the health of the medical school. That's my personal commentary. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Cleburne. Representative Novotny.
Thank you. My question will be, well, I'll start off with Strategic Facilitator Quam. My question for you is, what authority did the Attorney General's office get involved in this negotiation to start with and get intervened in this contractual dispute between two entities?
Yeah.
Ms. Quam.
Thank you, Chair Coulter, and thank you, Representative Novotny. As you know, the Attorney General's office has a responsibility for charities, which are the nonprofit systems in the state, and has the authority of the Healthcare Transaction Act. And so in stepping forward and inviting the parties to come to the table, he was operating out of both that and the public interest that was inherent in making sure that the medical school could continue to receive funding. So he offered this to the parties, and they agreed to step forward.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. Strategic Facilitator Quam, then. So you're an employee of the Attorney General's office full-time?
No, I was designated by the Attorney General's office, and I had a contract with each of the three parties. I don't work for the office.
Representative Novotny.
So you were hired just to do this negotiation that the Attorney General decided to get involved in?
Yes, we use the term, thank you, excuse me, Chair Coulter and Representative Novotny, the facilitation, because it was always up to the parties to decide what agreement they wanted. But for my role was to facilitate them coming together to be able to do that. And then later on, the parties asked for mediation. At that point, retired Judge Fraser and Dr. McGuire came in.
That'll be all for her. And I don't know who would be the best to answer my next question. Probably Mr. Herford.
Mr. Herford? Representative Damani.
Mr. Herford, do you know why the previous agreement was set aside and who made that decision?
The Mr. prior Herford. Agreement, Mr. Chair, Committee Member Botany, in the transfer of the asset happened in 97. At the time, they created a 30-year agreement. So the agreement was terminating at the end of this year. So that was the need to be able to negotiate a new agreement on the basis of that termination of that contract.
Representative Novotny?
That's all I have for right now.
Thank you. Representative Robbins?
Thank you. While you're here, I'll follow up on that. So I understand the need for that termination, but there was an earlier agreement just between UM physicians and Fairview. And why was that terminated and on what basis?
Mr. Herford.
Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with a termination of the relationship with UMP.
Representative
Mr. Chair. Okay. So Fairview and the University of Minnesota Physicians had an agreement for a 10-year partnership last November.
Correct.
So what happened to that agreement and on what basis was it set aside?
Mr. Herford.
Thank you for the clarification. It was not set aside. That agreement, as part of the mediated settlement agreement, recognized that that agreement stood with potential modifications based on the broader mediated settlement agreement and the eventual definitive agreement with the University of Minnesota. For example, funds flow. Our agreement in November with UMP, the fixed variable, and there's a third part that I can describe, was going to UMP. Part of the mediated settlement agreement was that the fixed component would go directly to the University of Minnesota. That will require a modification of that November agreement. But that agreement in whole stands.
Representative Robbins?
Thank you. Well, as you get that final agreement done by the end of the month, it would be helpful if you could give us some sort of clarification, just outlining what stands from that November agreement and what's different between your relationship with the University of Minnesota Physicians.
Of course.
Thank you. I have more questions.
Yes, Representative Robbins, proceed.
Thank you. This is for actually Dr. Bielman, I believe.
proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Dr. Bielman. So back on my colleague, Representative Cleghorn's question, it says the 70% number of UM physicians will hold these faculty appointments and work at sites at the U of M. What was that number under the old agreement?
Dr. Bielman?
Chair Coulter, Representative Robbins, there was no number in an old agreement. This was a new number.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Chair Coulter. So under the old agreement, all University of Minnesota physicians worked at the University of Minnesota campus or with Fairview, so it was 100%? I'm not sure what you're saying.
Dr. Bielman.
Chair Coulter, Representative Robbins, there was no definition in our old agreement with Fairview about the numbers of physicians that would be faculty or the numbers of physicians that would be University of Minnesota physicians employees only.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. And then I have one last question, if you will indulge me, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
So on page 3 of the agreement, it talks about how you will develop and support other current and future clinical academic affiliations in geographic areas throughout the state. And someone else had testified about how they want to develop more help for rural areas of the state, which we all agree with. But we as a committee put money into a special rural physician program, I believe, at St. Cloud last year. Mm-hmm. So is this now going to compete with that? Can you talk about how that will affect the sort of planning we did over the last few years here as a committee to focus the rural healthcare development up in St. Cloud?
Dr. Bielman.
Chair Coulter, Representative Robbins, I don't anticipate that the areas of this agreement that you're referring to are going to change the efforts of the medical school to continue to educate medical students at St. Cloud or at Duluth, indeed. This does make it possible for us to expand relationships, as we already have, with 50 health systems throughout the Upper Midwest. This allows us to explore expansion of other relationships into the future, especially serving those that don't have access to the type of tertiary care that University of Minnesota physicians is actually expert in.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you. My last comment is that there's a lot of Mayo Clinic affiliated groups that have closed recently in Greater Minnesota, and I know they'd be interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. Quickly, before I get to Representative Cleghorn, actually, though, that line of question did spark a question of mine. You said, Dr. Bielman, in the contract that there was no sort of definition around the percentage of UMP physicians who hold faculty appointments or the percentage that would primarily work at sites with UM academic affiliation. I don't need the numbers right now, but I certainly would be curious what those numbers were. And you can send an email or something, but that I think that's an interesting question, certainly to compare it to what we might see moving forward. So just wanted to put in that official request.
Chair Coulter, if you don't mind a general answer, I can give it to you now. Back in 1996, when we became a single multi-specialty practice, we had 660 physicians, all of whom were employed by UMP, all of whom had faculty appointments. Now it's always a moving number, but about and I've heard 1,200, 1,500, and 1,700 today. But of the 1,500 physicians that we currently have today, about 1,200 of them are UMP and UMP employees and University of Minnesota faculty, and we have about 300 that are UMP employees only.
Thank you, Dr. Bielman. Representative Cleghorn.
Thank you very much. And when I first learned of this UMP separating from U of M and all of this negotiating with Fairview without U of M at the table, I quickly looked at a map to see where your footprint is located, UMP. And It appears that you are in every sector of our state. Is that correct, or am I misremembering?
Chair Coulter, sorry to jump the gun, sir. And Representative Cleburne, we serve most of the state. We have 50 agreements with systems across the state, and indeed 9 states. So Fairview, again, is our largest partner, right, but we care for patients all across the state of Minnesota.
Representative Cleburne.
And that's part of the research and academic portion of your mission, is that correct?
Dr. Buhlman.
Chair Coulter. Representative Cleburne, the easy answer is yes.
Well, I like easy answers. Yeah. Now I have a hard question.
We all like easy answers.
One more hard question?
Representative Cleburne.
Could you please explain to me item number 11 on page 7? What is this new tower? And what is the purpose of the new tower? What is it? It says explore. So I don't know if, Dr. Cunningham, if it's your question, would you like to come back to the testifier table? There are 3 seats.
Yeah. Dr. Cunningham.
Sure. If I may do a follow-up to the last question also, Chair, and Representative Cleburne. So the physician group provides the clinical care. All the research and education that happens is university. So the university is in every 87 counties, and we provide research and education and knowledge transfer across all those counties, but all the research and education component is a university mission. The other part of the question you asked is the tower, and it is an exploration, and so I don't want to get ahead of our skis right now. But what we've committed to do as a university, we've committed to, as we look ahead to, you know, a decade or two from now, we recognize that the facilities that are currently on our campus, even with the good investment, which we're very pleased about in partnership with our Fairview partners, will not provide the cutting-edge technology, modern ecosystem that we will need to provide for learners, for medical students across the state of Minnesota to be able to have physicians. So we do need to look ahead. In our negotiations, that has not been an interest of Fairview in helping to move a tower forward there, although we do want to explore it with them in terms of being, you know, a partial partner, et cetera, and that opportunity we will explore together. But we know we do need to explore having a facility that is a modern facility that will train the healthcare workforce of the future. And perhaps we do that in partnership, and perhaps that we do that separately, and that is all open for discussion.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. And then and this was just touched on briefly in the conversations, but with the federal cuts that Minnesota is receiving, the metrics or the thresholds that you're using for investment from Fairview into the University of Minnesota system, that causes me great pause because profitability is going to be really hard. So many of the patients who are seen by the University of Minnesota receive those services. So is there concern on the part of the University of Minnesota or on Fairview's part that these thresholds of profitability, if that's the only word I have, won't be hit?
President Cunningham.
Chair, Representative Cleburne, and I'll let my partners answer that as well. If what you're talking about is will the variable support be hit?
Correct.
We are not counting on the variable support.
Okay.
We are budgeting on the fixed support. We will be delighted, given the headwinds that are faced, if we ever see any of the variable support. But I do understand the difficult headwinds that my healthcare partners have, and I think we have to budget towards what we can count on, which is the fixed support. And I'll note the fixed support is not what happens, does not go to the university after all the other bills are paid.
Okay.
Fixed support is something that has to be paid, you know, up front. Okay. And is as important as health, as their labor costs and as any other costs. So now, you know, certainly we have a provision in there for pandemic times again and exigency and things like that. But otherwise we will count very much, and this 10-year agreement gives us the certainty around that $50 million component. We will all work hard in partnership to be successful, and if that success happens in that variable support way, then we will be delighted to utilize the additional funds in a positive manner towards our shared goals.
right, thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Representative Cleborn. Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to follow up on the research. The U of M is responsible for all the research and the students,
yes,
and everything else.
Yes.
But then there's also within number four, that research component done by Fairview will remain within Fairview. How does that contradict, you know, the work that you'll be doing?
So, President Cunningham.
Chair and Representative Knorr, hospital systems across the state, you know, may pursue their own research for their, you know, contracts in their own ways. University faculty, university students, university physicians have to go through university procedures and have the funding come through the university. So, and that's because we have a tremendous amount of oversight, both at the state level and federal level, for compliance, for human ethics, for IRBs, et cetera. So the university is the oversight home of all research that is being done by any university personnel. And in fact, has to have oversight also of all the clinical trials, all of that work that happens, and that happens in good places like our Fairview Partners, and also at Health Partners and at Allina and at CentraCare, where we do clinical trials all over the place and all over the state. Those all come through the university, are overseen by the university, and managed, of course, through our IRBs, et cetera, and our ethics. And that's to be done to make sure that they're all, you know, done with the appropriate attention.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam President. So in terms of the same research, if Fairview wants to partner with the U of M on specific research, does this allow you to do that without specifying the, you know, procedure and how that will be done?
And I'm
thank you.
Chair Coulter and Representative Knorr, if you're referring to, and I don't know the item, I'm sorry, I don't have the item in front of me. Perhaps you do, Dr. Bielman. Yes, so again, the research oversight and the research funding comes through the university. Now, together, we may, with Fairview, decide we want to focus on a particular kind of research or a particular kind of program and help invest in our faculty moving ahead in that particular regard towards a particular goal and end. Yeah.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll follow up on that. I know because I'm reading the last section on that research, which says this
will not govern.
Yeah.
Chair.
President Cunningham.
Representative Knorr. It doesn't govern. They are free, obviously, as an independent entity to have, you know, contract with, I don't know, a technology company or something to do their own research. And I would leave that to my colleague here to explain. If it doesn't involve U of M faculty, our trainees, or our students, if it involves any of those things, then the university has to be involved.
Representative Knorr.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I could address
Mr. Hereford, yeah.
Representative Knorr, what President Cunningham said is exactly right. In addition, we have an entity called Fairview Frontiers. It is the nation's best leading research entity for wearables. And the part of the reason is we're able to recruit a representative population, which I can't mention the companies, but I'm sure many of you have their watch on, are looking for that kind of representative sample to be able to conduct those studies. That is independent, but reports to our chief academic officer, who is a University of Minnesota faculty member, Dr. Brad Benson. So there are areas in which we do independent research. I would say the other flavor of that is the Center for Learning Health Systems. That really is a place, Dr. Genevieve Melton Mukes, who is a colorectal surgeon and a brilliant scientist, researcher, and clinician, looks at how care is delivered and uses scientific methods to be able to determine whether something is superior or not in terms of pilots and experiments that we can run within the care delivery system. So that's clearly conducted by the University of Minnesota, but the target is on how do we continue to advance the practice of care delivery.
And if I may, Chair, and that's a broad field of health sciences research, essentially, and we have faculty and the faculty he mentioned that are experts in this, that look at how we translate and how we improve the operations of that care. And that is a research field in and of itself. Our faculty are wonderful and do a great work in that. That does it in partnership with patient data, both at Fairview and at other health systems.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I'm not seeing anybody. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Motney.
Thank you, Chair Coulter. President Cunningham, expanding out a little bit, you've now just had this experience, very complicated, long drawn out, billion-dollar deal. A lot of meetings going back and forth, a lot of different entities involved. Taking a look at now, this is a basis, and it also comes in with some of the negotiations you do with unions and contracts and things like that. Do you feel that the open meeting laws that the regents have to work under has hampered or slowed or handicapped the university's position? Is there any modifications that you think we could do to the open meeting laws that would help in these very complicated business decisions? So there could be some closed meetings so that, you know, you're not showing your cards when the other side doesn't have to.
President Cunningham.
Chair Coulter and Representative Novotny, I just want to recognize that this also is a complicated issue, and I believe deeply in the transparency of both public data and that the way the university works, and that there are, you know, citizens and faculty and students, you know, deserve to have the right to be able to understand how decisions are being made at the university and to see the full amount of the data for it. That being said, there are moments where we are in a competitive place. You know, we are in negotiations, for example, and it is difficult to have both of these two gentlemen operate with boards that can meet. They can meet on their own, privately, come up with their strategy to negotiate against your university, you know, towards a common goal, but, you know, in negotiations across the table. As a university, we can't do that, and it makes it difficult sometimes for us to be able to devise the best strategy. Update our board members in a rapid way and in a quick way and bring them up to speed so that we can then be in the, whether it's we, these two gentlemen, or, you know, in other competitive situations with the university. And so, you know, I guess I'll leave you with that. It's complicated, and there are times where being able to have closed session meetings before we come publicly and announce what decisions would be, and certainly, you know, have regents voice their independent both votes, which is public, and the reasons for those votes, which I fully support. But it does put us at a competitive disadvantage, and my regent is nodding, if I may. I won't say which regent, not just in this situation, but there are other situations as well where you want your university where there's going to be using public funds later on to be able to be in the best position to negotiate. And while I wouldn't begin to define what that is, and with the utmost respect for our transparency and need for the citizens to be able to see decision making, it doesn't always put us in the easiest negotiating position.
Yeah. Representative Motney?
So I could put you down for a kind of yes?
I will say, as I think the only member of this committee who has served on a city council, I certainly have lots of thoughts about the open meeting law. Representative Cleborn.
Thank you. And maybe we should flip it on its head. The university has to be open and transparent, but also any entity negotiating with a public entity must also have their meetings open. We could do that.
Sounds like we have some
bipartisan
really legislation. All right, members.
Be a gentleman.
All right, members, any further discussion? I am not seeing anybody, and I was really hoping that we would end this meeting with the three of you sitting together at the table, because I just want to join all of my colleagues in saying how relieved, truly relieved we are that we have come to this point and that we have a partnership moving forward that will continue to serve Minnesotans and our healthcare needs and keep all of these three organizations that so many Minnesotans depend on in a strong position moving forward. With that, members, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.